All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. It's Mitch, Josh, and Brad with All Eyes on Fishing. Today we're going to talk about some of the things we like to do when the bite is tough, when those walleyes have lockjaw and you're scratching your head trying to figure out what to do to get them to bite.
What time of year are we talking about?
Well, you know, this is typically one of the toughest periods right now. You know, in August, so many bait fish in the water, the water temp's still high. So let's talk about right now, what would you do? If you're going to go tomorrow, what would you do, Josh?
Perfect. I think we should narrow it down. We'll do it August, late summer, or early fall pattern, and, you know, go to presentations. And the problem with a topic like this is, you know, there's so many. There's so many, you know, go to. I think I probably have a top three, so picking just one is kind of tough.
Well, pick one.
Well, I might need a second to think about it. Why don't you go first?
You know what I would do? If I had one thing to do, I would go out and I would troll at night. I would have the night pattern because I think that I can get into those fish better because those fish are suspending up. The bait fish have really packed together, but now they're up more towards the surface, and a lot of those fish come up at night to start feeding.
What kind of bait? I mean, what are you going to use? We're talking presentation.
You know, I'm going to use crankbaits for sure, you know, but I'll probably end up pulling a flicker minnow or, let's say, a Smithwick Rogue, maybe a flicker shad. Kind of depends on when I'm out there, but I'm definitely going to fish that 5 to 7 foot water column. Get right where those pack bait fish are coming.
So you're going high.
Yeah. I'm going to go high. Well, and I agree, Brad. I think that's great. Doing the night shift, because a lot of the lakes, or at least around here that we fish, they get a lot of pressure, a lot of just pleasure boaters, jet skis. Yeah. You know, it's just crazy during the day, and I think that's great too. That's one of my things I would do is shift over to go at night. Yeah. When those fish, you know, feel more secure. It's more their natural hunting time.
Yeah, and it's, like, you guys are right. It's tough with all the traffic and. You know, you can get your stuff ran over and cut off in a heartbeat if you try to do some of that trolling stuff.
But let's face it, a lot of guys can't get out at night. They got to work at 6 in the morning, 5, whatever.
Right.
So what are you guys thinking? I mean, if you're not going to do a night bite, I know that that's what we'd probably all like to do. But I was the one that picked it, so I don't have to pick another one. So pick one. I mean, I know there's other things we could do. I can almost guarantee that Mitch would find something in just super light finesse fishing.
Yeah, that is what I would do. So I've always been a Lindy rigger. I love it. It's just one of the funnest ways for me to catch them. And years ago, I started playing around with, you know, when the bite was tough, even with leeches and my slip sinker standard Lindy rig, just going to a real small split shot, you know, a couple feet up from the hook, and to where, you know, I can barely even feel the bottom. But I know I'm in the zone, and I can just sit on fish and let that crawler or leech pretty much, you know, slap them in the lips until they just have to take it, is my opinion with it.
So with that, I mean, what kind of rod are you using? What kind of hooks? What would you use?
You know, I really like Gamagatsu hooks. Number four
the
is
finesse
more,
wide gap.
Yep, exactly. Fine wire live bait hook. The lightest possible. The whole point is I'm trying to make it seem like that crawler or leech typically is what I would use. You know, maybe start switching over to minnows, shiners out here. But it's trying to make it seem like that thing is just by itself in the water column.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think going finesse and being, you know, more patient and during the hotter daytime, because it still is getting hot, and, you know, the nighttime cooling off and will cause those fish to react differently. But Mitch, when you're talking about it, I guess my biggest question to you is, you know, where are you doing this? I mean, and I don't mean like which lake. I mean, where in the lake?
really, I want to go over a structure. So when I find a break, say the top of the shelf might be, you know, 10 foot and up to 8 on a little flat, but then it drops off right there, a good sharp break.
Those fish are going to be stacked on that break.
Yeah, a lot of times those fish are stacked on the break. So what I like to do too is come in from deep water and just real slow. So typically Lindy rigging, you know, you might go maybe 0.5, no faster than that, because that's about the speed that a leech would swim naturally in the water.
Right.
So, you know, we all know, just, you know, keep it really slow. But I'm talking really slowing it down. 0.1, 0.2, almost stop to where, and I like to go from the deep water up the break, working up the break. It's just easier to keep contact with the bottom.
Sure.
But again, it's trying to keep it just as natural as possible.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I listened to both yours, and you both kind of have taken a little bit of what I would do as well. So I'm going to cheat a little. I'm going to say I'm going to pick two. And the reason I'm going to pick two is because, Brad, you already kind of jumped on top of what I would do. I mean, my go-to bait to cover water, to make fish react, because a lot of what we see in the fall is reaction bites. So to make fish react and get that fish to go after what we're presenting, rather than, like you said, the big balls of bait, is I would do trolling cranks on lead. I think trolling cranks on lead in the middle of the day.
But you're going to be deeper then.
I mean, I'm going to be deeper.
If you're going when there's sun up, yeah. Of course you're going to be working that.
You know, 15, 20
I was
going
to say 12
range.
To 15, maybe 18 foot.
Yep.
But at night, that's why I would go.
Yeah, they raise up. And yeah. I know, and I agree. I mean, and that's the big thing is, you know, you get down there and you especially if there's a thermocline or something that's holding those fish below the bait balls before the nighttime comes and they raise up below them and start to feed on them. You know, that's the fish I'm going to target, like we did in Pueblo a couple weeks ago when the three of us went down and we fished, you know, those bait balls that were suspended about 5 feet. Fish were all the way down at 20 feet. We threw out snap weights and lead core.
The fish that were deeper were the ones that
were active. And we tried to fish up through the bait balls and above them, and we couldn't get a fish to go. But as soon as we went down deeper, those fish were the active ones. They were the ones chasing the bait and our cranks.
And
so,
a little faster, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think there's two of them. But if I get into a situation where, let's say boater traffic or, you know, there's something going on that it just really isn't, it's just not a good situation for me to pull cranks. Then I'm going to go with jigging wraps. I'm going to go with jigging wraps and blade baits.
I think we've talked about the jigging wrap. I mean, we had a podcast on it, and that's definitely one all of us.
Yep.
You know, could definitely go with
it. And I think year round too. I mean, I wouldn't even limit it to just now. We all did great fishing those jigging wraps first thing this year.
First thing.
Early March when we first got on the water, man, we were hammering them.
Yeah, that was March when ice just came out. We were doing really well with them. You know what? I would say yes. They're versatile enough to use all year, but I like them in the spring.
Yep, early spring.
And
early,
in
early
late summer. You know, we've talked about that, and we don't need to beat that up. Jigging wraps, definitely.
Yep.
But you're trolling, so let's talk about trolling. What kind of baits you're using? You're going to use lead, but what are you going to use?
So I'm going to use lead, and it's kind of funny because I can't really tell you exactly why this is. It just seems to be this way for me. You know, these bait fish, especially the shad, you know, they're only about a half an inch long, maybe an inch at most after they've hatched in
right
this time
now.
Of year.
Yeah, starting to grow.
That to me would indicate a size 4 or size 5 flicker shad or you know.
But I know how you are. You're going to go bigger.
I always go 7. Seven for me is my go-to, and it just seems like 7, maybe it's the reaction that we've talked about, but it seems like 7 creates more action and more interest in what I'm doing than a 5 or a 4 or anything smaller. Shad wrap, flicker shad, you name it. And then I also like to run the stick baits. I still like running the original Rapala or the Rogues, and I still like trying to...
And you can run those Rogues on lead.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Still get it down there. And I think, you know what, maybe that is completely reaction, but you throw those bigger baits out there. And then in the springtime, that's the interesting part to me. In the springtime, we commonly do well on the smaller crankbaits, the 4s and the 5s, and that's what we all use, because those are the ones we do better on. But at that time of year, they're all size 7, 8, 9 as far as the shad go, because they're growing all winter.
No. I mean, pitching from shore, we go big. You know what I mean? We're going to pitch bigger stuff. When ice is first out, early, you know, late February, early March, whatever. You can't get on the water yet. At least you can't get out here. We're throwing 9s and 11s from shore. I mean, weren't throwing rogues or, you know, whatever.
The stick bait form.
They're stick bait, yeah.
But you're not doing the shad baits. You're still...
Yeah, stick bait, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the shad baits, I mean, you know, we're all rolling those. And even in the flicker minnows, we're rolling the smaller flicker minnows in the spring.
Yep.
But in contrast, we all know the bait's bigger. We can see them flopping. You know, we can see the seagulls feeding on them. We can see the fish chasing. We see them on the graph. They're bigger.
I think what's really going on there, there's maybe two different things. You know, the colder water temps, the metabolism's a little slower. The fish are, you know, a little more lethargic, we'll say. Mm-hmm. But
Back in spring.
Yeah, exactly. Back in spring, that early spring window. But going smaller versus the bait fish being bigger, because they are. It's all the adults that are left in the lake at that point. I think it just separates it. It's something
maybe,
different.
And that's a good point. I mean, maybe that's the deal. And, you know, and also something to think about, too, when we do talk about the jigging wraps or the blade baits or whatever, you know, this time of year, those adults that haven't gotten eaten up by this point, some of them start to die. Mm-hmm. And
that's why those work.
That's right.
Especially
those
the blade
shad,
baits, they really fall like a dying shad.
Yep, and if anybody's ever seen a shad, when they start to die, I mean, they have the dying kick, right? They flutter down to the bottom, and then they spaz out, and then they flutter up, you know, a few feet, and then they flop down to the bottom, and they sit there on the bottom, and they quiver. And then they flop up, and they come back down. So that's exactly why the blade baits and the jigging wraps work so great.
So let's get back to, so we all can agree on the reaction bites with, like, jigging wraps or moonshine minnows or blade baits, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking, I want to get back to yours because I want people to know when you're trolling that lead, lead's its own animal. You know, it takes a little bit to get used to, but it's definitely a very, very good way to pick up, not just walleye, a lot of kinds of fish.
Yeah.
But what speed would you be trolling at this time of year?
It just depends. I always start around 2 miles per hour, and then I'll bump it up to 2.5. And even up to 3. If now your bait's, you know, on lead, that lead, oh, you have to be careful because if that bait goes rogue on you and it starts going off to one side or the other with lead, they'll get tangled in a blink, and then you will lose, you know, tons and tons of lead. And that stuff gets expensive. So
when I'm talking about trolling at night, I'm going to long line some of my stuff off the back of the boat, but I'm also going to use boards. And we have a podcast and some information on our website regarding planer boards.
Yep.
And if this interests you, if you want to go out and start working night fishing, seriously, look at the planer board stuff that we have out there, because it's going to help you. I mean, it increases your catch rate. I can't even begin to tell you how good boards are. Work.
Right.
They're a little intimidating. I know when I have guys talk to me about boards, they're like, oh God, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But really, you go out and start working them in the daylight a little bit, and it doesn't take long to learn how to use boards.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have a couple great articles at alleyesonfishing.com that we wrote reference using boards and glow sticks at night in the early spring. And in the fall, it's exactly the same. Same pattern, same equipment. If you got the right equipment for spring, you have the right equipment for fall. But you know, you're right. And that's the difference, I think, is you can separate those baits with the boards and you don't get the tangles and the issues. But when you run that lead, if you turn too sharp or you get a bait that goes out of tune, then you have issues with that. And that's one thing I want to cover real quick is we had a question from a couple of our listeners last time, and they asked us to touch briefly on tuning a bait. So since we're here, I don't want to get too crazy on it because, you know, we could do a whole nother podcast on tuning baits. But real quick, and whichever one of you two want to cover it, because I'm not super great at tuning them.
Yeah, I'll take it here. So what we're talking about is when you drop a crankbait in the water, and you have to look at each one, because right out of the package they can be out of tune, just depending. So what we're talking about is where the eyelet is lined up in the bait. If that's at a little bit of an angle, it'll cause the whole bait to run off to that side, like sit there as it's digging through the water to also dig to the right, we'll say, if that eyelet's off a little bit. So essentially what you have to do if you see that, you want to straighten the eyelet out. What I like to use is just my needle nose pliers that I have in the boat, and just kind of take a hold of that eyelet, or even use part of the, have the eyelet on the pliers and the other side of the pliers on the bait itself, but make small, small adjustments.
Like 30 seconds, yeah, like small.
We are talking, did I move it or didn't I? You know, because you can overdo it just that easy.
And it could be a mess. You're going one way and then the other.
Yep, back and forth. But keep working it. So make your adjustment, drop it down in the water as you're moving, of course. Yeah. If it runs true, it's going to fall right behind that line.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, continue to make that adjustment. Yeah. So you're moving the eyelet the opposite direction that the bait is trying to run.
Right. Yeah. And when Mitch says moving it, he doesn't mean twisting it in the plastic. He means actually pulling the top from one side to the other. And that's actually important to know, because if you try to twist it, you're going to break the plastic and you're going to ruin your bait.
Yeah, so exactly. So the eyelet, so it stands up vertically. You know,
I think we touched on, I think we need to just do some instructional stuff on it too. So
absolutely.
Sure. So yeah, if you have questions on it, give us a holler. Yeah. But that'll get you at least the basics of what you need to do. What I'd like to focus on really though is Mitch and me have spent a lot of time on the water, and I know that I love live bait rigging even when it's tough out, but when you're doing your split shot rigs, Mitch, tell me about, or tell the listeners what kind of line you're using, because we've went over the hooks and the weight, but I want to talk about the line because it's important.
Yeah, you know, I like 6 pound mono. Maybe for a leader, if it's clear water, we'll use some 6 pound P line. But
that's a fluorocarbon. P line's a fluorocarbon.
Yep, 100% fluorocarbon. I never go heavier than 6 pound ever. I've caught some giant fish on 6 pound test. So it's all just about setting your drag rate. But again, that the lighter the line, the more action your bait's going to have, your live bait, and it's going to be more natural. Usually use my standard jigging rod, and 7 foot medium light, even with a fast tip, is going to be the best rod to use live bait rigging. So I think it's great. I really think when you break it down, everybody has their own go-tos when the bite's tough and you're having a hard time catching fish. But I really like that, you know, Brad's a night guy, so that's a great tip right there. Josh with the crankbaits and lead core, maybe even picking up the speed like the 3, you know, everybody try that because it does work. And then, you know, my go-to is just trying to be more natural as I can be. So I think all 3 different ways are a great way to try to get some fish when the bite's tough.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to do it for today. If you guys have any questions, when we put out the podcast, leave messages or leave comments, and we'll be happy to answer them. Or you can pick us up at alleyesonfishing.com and on our Twitter or Instagram. And also, you can go to our page on Facebook. So other than that, I think that's all we got.
That's it. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.